More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. I do want to give a quick disclaimer that this conversation we're going to be discussing has sensitive topics such as suicide. So just to be aware of that as we move forward, because for more than a decade, there has been a steady decline in the mental health of America's youth. And in recent years, healthcare professionals have been unable to keep up with this issue. In fact, according to the 2023 State of Mental Health in America report, more than 59% of adolescents with major depression were not able to receive treatment, which then can leave them at greater risk of suicide. And in the last few months, Idaho has seen an increase in the number of cases where young people have taken their own lives. Central District Health has recently partnered with BPA Health to provide a new program that helps to support students as well as their families in the Ada County community. So joining us today to talk more are Connor Young. He is the health policy analyst with Central District Health. Sierra Kistler, health education specialist with Central District Health. Dr. Camille Lacroix, the medical director of BPA Health, along with Dana Menlove, chief operating officer with BPA Health. I want to welcome all of you to the program. And Dr. Lacroix, I'd love to start the conversation with you. I know this is an incredibly heavy topic, and it is something that I think so many of us are concerned with, in particular with, as I mentioned, these recent suicides that have happened in the Treasure Valley. But Dr. Lacroix, I think that these suicides have made a lot of us maybe think more about this and about mental health. But this isn't something that just started happening. Can you take us back to the fact that this has been an ongoing problem? It's a crisis, in particular in Idaho.
It is, unfortunately, a crisis that is not new. It is a longstanding problem that just is not easily solved. And for, you know, you mentioned over a decade, it has been decades of a problem in terms of suicide being one of the leading causes of death of older children and adolescents, the age range, according to the Centers for Disease Control, being 10 to 24. The pandemic did make it worse, in particular for females, for teenage females. For all of us, the epidemic of loneliness, according to the Surgeon General, the depression, anxiety, the worry about things is certainly on the increase. And in particular, those numbers have risen for teenage females.
And so, Dana, let me bring you into the conversation. As I mentioned, there is a program that BPA Health partners with Central District Health about. Tell us a little bit about this program and why you decided to partner and create this program.
Sure, thank you. At BPA Health, we are really passionate about strengthening Idaho communities, and we created this program to help students and families access the mental health and well-being care that they need when and where they need it. So this program connects families to licensed professionals, web-based tools, and other well-being resources that can help address challenges that come up in modern day life in general. And we know that working with a counselor on any factor that's coming up in a family can really bolster a parent's ability to feel more confident in their own mental health and well-being, which we know has impact on any children in the home.
And Dr. Lacroix, why is it important to have this program, in particular, as I mentioned, that we have not only do we have this crisis with mental health, but we don't have access to enough mental health professionals. So it's kind of like, you know, this this whole catch 22, right? And how do we stop that?
Yes, unfortunately, Idaho is consistently at the top of the list of states with the lowest number of mental health providers per capita. We have a lot of programs going on in the state to correct that. We have developed residency programs to develop more workforce in medicine and psychiatry. There's a new pediatric residency that started recently here in Idaho. The number of counselors and psychologists are all woefully underrepresented in this area as well. Mm-hmm. So there are efforts to increase the workforce, but even with that increased workforce, there is a lot of need and a lot of people that are on wait lists. It can take to see a child psychiatrist or a child specialist clinic, it can take upwards of months, 6 to 8 months sometimes to get in. So what this program was designed to do is to give quick solution-based resources to individuals, much like an employee assistance program, so that if you're an eligible family, anyone in the family can have sessions if they're in that district and that district is covered by this program. Mm-hmm. You can do them online, you can do them in person, but the purpose is to get quick support and to be pointed in the direction, if needed, of longer term, more intensive services than we offer. This is a bridge if needed. And for some people, it's the only thing that they need. It might be an interim short-term stressor that if they get addressed quickly, it will suffice. And if not, we help people get pointed to more intensive services.
So Connor, let me bring you into the conversation. How is this program funded then? Because one of the issues that we also know people run into, right, is that maybe they can't afford for themselves or their child to get mental health services if they can even find availability. So this service is free. How has that been able to happen?
Hi, Gemma. Thanks for having me. So this program, as you mentioned, it can be a struggle for families to pay for mental health services. So fortunately enough, CDH, Central District Health, was able to get funds from the Ada County Board of County Commissioners, their ARPA funding, so American Rescue Plan Act, so COVID relief dollars. We were awarded, and we were able to partner with BPA Health, contract with them to be the provider of these services. And so this is, we're able to offer these services at no cost to families at the eligible schools.
Okay. So how exactly then does someone get into this program?
This is Dana. Yeah, the program is for all families who have students enrolled in the participating school districts. We're talking here about West Ada, Boise, and CUNA in Ada County. And so in addition to the enrolled student being able to participate, parents, guardians, and even siblings up to age 26 are all eligible to participate in the program. It's free, it's confidential, and families can connect by calling our 1-800 number or going online to fill out a form. And our service navigation team helps families navigate the system to get connected with the providers and the resources they need. So, and I think it's important to point out that the enrolled student does not have to participate in the program in order for other family members to engage the program. So we know that challenges in the home can often present a barrier to the student, you know, feeling healthy or ready to learn and be successful at school. And this program can really help with a number of issues that might be happening in the home that might not be directly related to the student. So it's a holistic approach to the family health.
And Dr. LaCroix, why is that so important, as Dana just mentioned, to bring the entire family into this?
That's a great question. So, you know, especially for children and adolescents, what's happening at home, what's happening with your parents often, or guardians, whomever you're living with, really sets the tone and the benchmark for coping and for wellness. So if your household is stressed, is unable to cope with things, or, you know, struggling with severe mental illness or substance abuse and addiction issues, if those things aren't addressed, it certainly will roll downhill to the children, and it makes their coping and ability to, you know, get good rest, be present in school, and just in life in general, make social connections and important bonds and things that they need to do that much more difficult. So if the family is in crisis, certainly that is going to have an impact on the kids, and in many ways, including their academic performance and just overall wellness.
And Dr. LaCroix, have you found that there is a particular demographic that is more impacted by feelings of depression and anxiety or stress? Or is this something that I think that we see across all economic, families. We see this no matter what the economic status, no matter what, where they live, right? Rural or urban. Is that a wrong assumption, or can you pinpoint certain things?
You know, it's not a wrong assumption. It is an equal opportunity issue, in the sense that anyone can become depressed, anyone can become anxious, anyone can become overwhelmed. There's certainly demographic data that shows that certain populations, obviously under severe stress, that conditions that I just mm-hmm. mentioned, severe mental illness, justice-involved families, there's certainly going to be situations that are more prone in terms of family variables and issues that are going on, where those, there's biologic predeterminants of depression, of bipolar, of schizophrenia, and things of that nature, and substance use mm-hmm. disorder as well. So some people are unfortunately predisposed to those things, and some environments obviously are more prone to increasing the chances of having a mental health or substance use disorder. However, what we do see and what we do know is that especially teenagers are very good at pretending everything is okay. They don't want to talk about what's happening. They don't often share openly what's going on. And often that's the case. The more functional someone may appear on the outside, the more productive they are, often the less willing they are to show that vulnerability, that they might need help and seek out resources. So sometimes it's the opposite. The people who look like they have everything together are often struggling just as much, if not more, but they're not willing to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. LaCroix, what should caregivers be watching for when it comes to adolescents and keeping them not just physically safe, but mentally safe? I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. I am in the midst of it, and I talk with my kids all of the time about mental health. To the point where they're rolling their eyes at me. But it's, I want them to know that we're here, but also that normal being sad is that everybody's sad, right? But it's kind of like, but look, if you get into this where you're feeling this way or that way, tell us. But what should we be doing and looking for, in particular with what has recently just happened in the Treasure Valley? As I said in the beginning of this conversation, it has come to the forefront for so many of us. And we want our kids to survive and thrive.
I think that's a great way to put it. I also have kids almost exactly those ages, and it's a struggle. The more we try oftentimes to connect with them and to talk to them about it, they'll often shut down and, mm-hmm. We're bothersome. But I would argue that being bothersome is one of the best things that you can do as a parent. You do want to be in their business to find out what's going on. I kind of have a mnemonic for bonding and ensuring that they know their place in the world. And I think with tech and all the scheduled activities and the things that we're expected to do nowadays, you can really easily get disconnected from your people.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the most important things you can do is work on bonding and engaging and disconnecting from tech, which is easier said than done with, devices being practically surgically attached to everyone, including ourselves, right? So putting mm-hmm. our own phones and computers and things away, putting work down, being together. So I kind of a mnemonic, I'm calling it double bond. So making sure you spend time together, be together as a family, do a meal at least, I'd say once a day, but that seems hard sometimes as well. But try to get a meal together where you're all sitting down. Try a family meeting, something where you set the agenda and let kids know what's happening and what the expectations are. Teenagers don't like to be surprised with going to Christmas Eve at Aunt Josephine's house without warning. That is, you know, they don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to be informed. Oh, yeah. Of this. So really engaging your kids and letting them know what's happening and give them a voice. Creating balance over the holidays. You know, I think that the semester, getting through school, what we do know sadly about the recent surge of suicides is there's a seasonal component. Mm-hmm. October, the fall, is a high risk time. And like I mentioned, females in particular are, since COVID, are even more at risk. But take stock, create some balance. So over the holidays, I really encourage people to, you know, slow down a little bit and make sure there's balanced eating and not so much tech, and go for a walk or maybe do some yoga together, do some things to create some self-care and some balance. And like I said, take stock, so the O of double bonding, do an overview, take stock of what the semester was like for them. Take a step back and listen, use open-ended questions and find out how things went. How do they get along with their teachers? What's going on with their peers? Really take some time to find out all the things that we didn't really get to hear about in the, you know, gauntlet of school in the last several months. And don't judge, don't comment, just listen and hear, listen for things that are worrisome, right? And watch for things that are worrisome. Teenagers may not tell you things, but you notice things, right? Changes in hygiene, changes in their friend group, really being moody after being on the phone, or you know, look for things that indicate they're struggling socially. That's an important thing to do. The end in my mnemonic, the double bond, is never miss a chance. Never miss a chance to notice them, to give them affirmations and affection and things that they, you know, that we all want. We all want to be noticed. We all want to be appreciated. We all want to have somebody think that we're the best thing since sliced bread. And that's something that they really need and they don't get a lot of, because by design, teenagers are prickly and difficult to be around as they prepare to launch. And so it's very important to let them know how special they are. And that can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And the D is do something new with them. Be vulnerable. Try something new. Learn something together. And reset the balance that teenagers are often very prone to feel like we know everything and it's our way or the highway. So do something that resets that balance and makes it fun, and they can see you fail at something, make that fun, and they really enjoy that. But the overall message being, look and make sure that they are engaged with your people, with your family. And if they're not, and any of those types of things are a struggle, that's when it's time to call and get some help.
Sierra, you've been sitting by so patiently, and I want to bring you into the conversation as well. You are, of course, with Central District Health. And outside of this program that we've been talking about, Central District Health does a lot of other things when it comes to mental health, in particular with youth. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how people can access these services as well?
Of course. So suicide, I'm the suicide prevention coordinator at Central District Health, and we recognize that it can be really difficult for parents or just general community members to know where to start when having these conversations. So one thing that we do is we offer free suicide prevention and mental health awareness trainings for anyone in the community of the areas we serve, which is Ada, Elmore, Boise, and Valley counties. So if you are a person that is interested in learning more about what to say, how to say it, and how to intervene when you're concerned that someone might be having thoughts of suicide, we are happy to help provide some of that education. In order to schedule that, we have a whole training list and options to fit what's best for you and your needs. And you can reach me at 208-559-0279. And another piece of that puzzle when we talk about suicide prevention is lethal means safety. So we know that increasing time and distance between a person having suicidal thoughts and means can be life-saving. So we have prescription safety supplies like locking medication pouches and boxes of all different sizes, drug deactivation pouches, as well as gun locks available for community members free of charge. And you can also contact me to get those.
And as we wrap up this conversation, Dr. LaCroix, I'd like to end with you. This is such a heavy topic, and I think it weighs so heavily on so many of us that I think sometimes we fail to see if there is any hope in this crisis, whether it is, are we going to see another rash of suicides that we saw in the fall? Are we going to be able to get access to mental health services if our, you know, if our children need it, right? With all of that said, is there a light at the end of this sometimes really dreary tunnel?
That's a good question. I think that there always is a light. And I think that if there were something to take from this, it is awareness. It is a call to action. It always is a call to action, right? No child should die of suicide. And it is heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. It's unimaginable, but also imaginable as a parent. And it's your worst fear. So all the adults and the teenagers, everyone, educators, parents, schools, faith group, everyone is coming together and needs to come together to find solutions to this. It hopefully will create some traction and maybe some major changes. I think that the way that we teach mental wellness and you know, it's not done in the schools like physical fitness and the emphasis on pure academic topics. It would be nice for us to maybe focus on integrating mental and emotional wellness better in the curriculum and create less stigma and more solutions both at home and at school for folks to cope with something like this. But there's never not a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always hope. And that is what, you know, we as grownups in particular are designed to do for our kids, is to let them know that there is always a solution. There's, you know, nothing is hopeless. We always have a way through. And, you know, adolescents are impulsive. They don't think through consequences. And that's the biggest risk, is that they feel like something truly is a dead end. There is no way out. And that's our job, is to let them know that's not the case. And that no matter how difficult and painful something seems, there's always a way through.
I so appreciate the conversation today. I know it's difficult, but I think it's so necessary that we are talking about this. And also thank you to BPA Health and to Central District Health for all of the programs that you have in place, and that they are free for people who need them. So thank you for all the work that you do. And I really appreciate the conversation today.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we've been speaking with Connor Young, health policy analyst with Central District Health, Sierra Kistler, health education specialist with Central District Health, along with Dr. Camille LaCroix, the medical director of BPA Health, and Dana Menlove, chief operating officer with BPA Health. We've been discussing the mental health crisis here in Idaho, but also some new programs that are aimed at supporting the mental health of both students and their families. And do remember, if you or someone you know is in crisis, there is help. All you need to do is call the National Suicide Crisis Hotline, that number, 988. It is 24 hours, 7 days a week. Again, 988. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.